Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Bingeable. We have missed you. We've had quite a few technical issues slash traveling issues, so there's been a bit of a delay in this episode, but it's going to be a good one because we are covering Bridgerton. Now, our favorite show with unbelievable classical covers as well as sexual tension is back by my favorite, Shonda Rhimes. And this season takes us through Anthony's love story. Anthony. Oh, boy. It's going to be a promising start.
Love it. I feel like we have been waiting for this. Well, I feel like the world has been waiting for this to come back since the minute season one ended. Like, we just have been holding our breaths waiting for season two.
We were left on such a cliffhanger because we knew that Simon was not coming back,
right.
The Duke. And everyone was obviously devastated by that. So it was kind of like, can the second season live up to the hype of the first without Daphne and the Duke's love story,
you know, front and center? Do you think it did?
I personally think, I will say that I found the first like four episodes, but I feel like I actually felt this way about season one too. Like, it was a slow build into me being like so into the love story. But then, yeah, by the end, I would say so. It was a little more traumatic than the first, I think.
It was. It was a little bit different, and it was a little bit less juicy. Like, there were not many sex scenes, and I wonder if that was a conscious choice of the writers to say, can we do this without having to include sex? Like, can it just be, like, a hot love story? That's what people want, or if it was the actors not being as comfortable this season as the actors the first season were, or if it was like a combination, because it definitely was, I mean, the whole second half of the first season is like sex scene after sex scene, and
yeah.
This was none, basically. So it was
and
a pretty
people were
noticeable
definitely,
difference.
People were surprised. Like, I feel like everyone was talking about how where was the sex in season two? And
right.
There was some sex, but...
Not
as
nearly.
Much as we were expecting.
Totally.
So I don't know. Did you like that, or were what did you think?
I did like it. I still enjoyed. I thought it was really fun. I think that, like, there's enough pretty things to look at in the show that you don't necessarily need it. Like, I obviously was obsessed with the Duke, and there were so many hot moments with him the first season. But I did think that there were a lot of hot, charged moments between Anthony and... Kate, and like the costumes are so amazing and the balls
yeah.
are so amazing and the production and the music that like I didn't feel like it was lacking necessarily.
Well, I also kind of loved that they weren't having sex, but people found out, like Edwina figured out that they were in love with each other just through like a glance and their sexual
yeah.
tension. Like, I kind of loved how palpable they made that versus
totally.
Having them actually have sex, because there was never like another person involved. Like, it wasn't a love triangle at all in the first season, whereas I feel like this was just a very complicated story without as much sex, but like even more longing, kind of.
Totally.
Which I like.
Yeah, I also feel like they had so much chemistry. Simone, Ashley,
oh my
played
God.
Kate. And that it was just like, I think the first season everyone was so obsessed with the Duke, and he's just so obviously hot and just like such a star that everyone, he just
yeah.
has that X factor, and you couldn't focus on anybody else really. And in this, I just thought it was nice to like have Anthony have his moment, and I was like, he's pretty hot too. I feel like I didn't pay him any attention in season one because my attention was on Simon, but he's pretty hot.
Oh, he was so hot. And I will say, I was reading something that he like, they toned down his sideburns from season one.
Yes.
And I think that's what did it.
That's what did it.
He came this season smoking hot. And I want to know how many chemistry reads they did to find Simone Ashley as, like, the perfect Kate. Because they're
– perfect.
Especially at the end. Like, their chemistry is just flawless and so believable.
It really is. It really is. And I also think it was such perfect casting because – Edwina was so, like, sweet and young and naive, and you didn't want her to get hurt, but at the same time, it seemed kind of not gross or creepy, but it was just obviously not the right match between the two of them. And you saw that even more when you saw Anthony with, like, someone closer to his age and someone who was, like, more on his level. So it made you want them to be together even more.
Yeah. And I feel like I kept having to remind myself, like, what this time period and what this was and what marriage signified and what was expected of women and men, because I was like, all right, are we really supposed to believe, is anyone believing this Viscount and Edwina situation? Like, why are we even entertaining this? But then, like, as you figured out more of why both people felt like they had to be together. And I mean, like you said, Edwina's young. Now she's going to be set up with the queen's nephew. So pumped about that.
Pumped about that. Yeah. I wonder if they're going to be in the next season or who's, I mean, I have to assume it's Eloise's season next, which I'm kind of like, ugh, about, because, I mean, switching gears, we'll get back to Kate and Anthony. But with Eloise, I just was like, she's always doing the most. Always.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is just the actress, and part of that is they're not really giving her a lot to do. Like, her arc for this season was almost exactly the same as last season until the very end where she meets Theo, which I was so happy about, because at least it gives her something more to do, because I'm just like, enough is enough between her and Penelope and being obsessed with finding Lady Whistledown. Like, it's just, I was just getting very bored of that storyline.
Well, I was happy, though, that because I felt like the season one, I always wanted to see Daphne and the Duke, and I was kind of, like, just waiting for their scenes because we didn't really get enough of everyone else, and I feel like that's why we didn't really realize how hot Anthony was or saw Eloise as much. But I did like this season that even though, of course, Kate and Anthony were the central love story, like, I felt like we got some more time to start to care about all the rest of the characters.
Yeah, I totally agree. I also loved that we got even more of Lady Danbury, because she is just such a G. Like, she is my favorite character.
Oh my God, incredible.
That she's always in that, like, velvet burgundy top hat.
Yes.
And it's just, like, I loved her dynamic with the queen, but also her dynamic with Lady Bridgerton and her dynamic with Kate and Edwina's mom. And she just gets to do so much. I'm like, what a fun part for this actress to get to just relish in being, you know, like, the town. I mean, I don't, who even is she in the town? She's just,
I'm
like,
not sure at all.
Like, what is her place?
If anyone knows, send it to us. But because she was also, so she would, like, had taken the Duke under her wing and, like, raised him, essentially. And then she decided to take the Sharmas under her wing and essentially was, like, a second mom to Edwina dealing with all of this. So I'm kind of like, what is she going to be next season?
Yeah. I guess she's just the queen's, like, right-hand woman.
Apparently they're doing a spinoff that's a prequel with the queen and her husband and how, like, their love story and Lady Danbury. So she's clearly, she must be the queen's right hand.
What's interesting also is something they did not touch on this season that they did touch on the first season that I thought was really interesting was the, in the first season, for most of it, you just thought the diversity was just, like, that's the world that we're in, and they didn't really acknowledge it, and they didn't talk about it in, like, a historical sense in the town and what it meant for London society until they did, and that was really cool, and they talked about how the king and queen's love story and marriage kind of eradicated any sort of racial divides in society. And then in this season, obviously, they do talk about how the Sharmas are from Bombay, and they talk about the mom's whole background and being cast from society and whatever, but they never really talked about England and India's, like, geopolitical kind of, like, history and that, like, England colonized them, which, look, you don't, not every show has to do that, and it's totally, I'm down to just be like, this is the world we're living in, and it's just diverse. I love that. I love, you know, any kind of, like, fictional take on history and having that diversity. I think that's incredible. But it's just interesting that, like, I'm like, are they going to touch on it? Like, but maybe that's going to be something that they talk about.
Yeah, that they touched on it once, but not again.
But maybe that will be part of the prequel you know, because that's kind of how they framed it in the first season. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I feel like it could be, I don't know too much about the prequel, but I feel like it has to involve more of that, just in terms of their whole love story. That being the whole premise. But I'm very excited. And I will be watching, of course. But that scene with the king was heartbreaking. But it was.
I know, it really was. But Edwina handled it like a champ. And I feel like that's why now the queen still loves her and forgives her for standing him up. Which I honestly, I will say, I obviously knew that there's going to have to be a way for Kate and Anthony to be together. In
I was like, are we gonna deal with divorce?
Yeah, I was like, well, how are we getting there? Like, I really don't know. And so that was fun. It's always nice, you know, like, it's not like I'm watching this show to be, like, taken away by the, like, complex plot. But I was like, oh, it's kind of, like, fun to not know how they're going to get there.
Yeah. And then when they walked down the aisle, when they were about to say I do, and when you realize that, like, Edwina had to say I do first, I was like, oh, when, what is going to cause, and then the fact that it was the bracelet and them touching, and Edwina's like, have I missed this entire time? We're like, you did. You did, Edwina.
You really did. Everyone else knew.
Poor girl. But she's going to be fine. She was a champ, and I hated that she was so upset with Kate, obviously, and when she, like, made that dig about her being her half-sister. And, of course, I was like, mad at her for it, but then I was like, I mean, who are we kidding? If your sister did this,
you would be pretty pissed.
Yeah, this is not kosher, not okay,
not Kate, chill.
Like, what did Kate think she was doing? I don't know.
Unclear. I also did love, though, when Anthony stood up for the Sharmas when the grandparents came and were just huge assholes to them. I loved that he was just like, you gotta go. You must leave my house immediately.
Immediately. This cannot stay. And everyone else was just taking it and sitting there. I was like, all right, people, this is unacceptable. I thought Lady Danbury was going to stand up during that scene, but I guess it wasn't. She kind of knew it wasn't her place. And, Kate had already confided in her about the
The whole scheme. Yeah. I also thought it was nice to have that emotional. I mean, I guess we did have a little bit of an emotional element in the first season when Simon was dealing with, you know, his abusive father. But I did like that, you know, we learned more about the Bridgerton father and Anthony finding him. Also, can you just imagine what it would be like to live in the 1800s and be allergic to bees and just not have an EpiPen and just die?
That was, and that's why I said this season felt a little more traumatic, because I feel like we were really dealing with, Anthony was kind of a jerk in the first season and we didn't understand why, so it was so nice to see his backstory, but it was much sadder than he was much more damaged than I was kind of expecting him to be. And I loved his relationship with his mother, but that bee, like something as simple as a bee sting, and when Kate was stung by the bee, him like freaking out and being like, don't leave, like what he said, what his mom said to his dad.
That was, that was, and I was, like, okay, I'm fine, I'm into, I'm it fine.
I feel like that's what did it, him just like having a freak out.
That's totally what did it, 100%.
But I will say, Anthony at first, like, I couldn't read whether I thought he was being, like, a jerk or manipulative. It was so nice to see him just, like, break down and say how much he loved her at the end, because we literally didn't get him fully breaking that exterior until the last 5 minutes.
Yeah. It really, they really did a slow burn situation. We did not get to see them fully together or even exploring that until the last episode, really.
And I'm only sad that we missed their wedding.
I know. Yeah.
I guess we already saw a wedding.
Yeah.
It was very simple compared to the wedding that they had to shut down.
Yeah. Can you imagine being at a wedding and the engagement like gets broken whilst at the altar?
I absolutely cannot. I also just can't, like, that they didn't know what was happening, that the crowd just, like, started drinking and partying and, like, was not sure, and then were just told to go home. Like, it was such a bizarre. I also just, like, everyone who had to watch that bracelet incident.
What do you think about the Featheringtons? Do we care about them and their whole family drama? I don't know.
I will say that I absolutely despise, like, the mom until the end of this season. Like, I felt like I appreciated that she became a good schemer with the rubies and, like, had, yes, came up with the idea to save her family and protect her family. And I like how she, because she, let's not forget, her husband gambled away all of their money and then killed himself, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she went through this huge trauma too. And at this time, being a mother of three daughters and your only answer being like a random man that you've never met showing up and like saving you is just,
yeah,
so hard to imagine and so just takes all your dignity, I feel like. And she, you know, kind of came into her own, even though I think she's a very questionable person with obviously very questionable morals. But I like how she kind of did, she came up with the scheme herself and she found a way to protect her family herself and she got him out herself and she, yeah, made a lot of bad decisions. But I cared about her more. The two oldest daughters, I don't care about at all. I feel like we don't know anything about them. So maybe
nothing about them.
One day we will. Penelope, I mean, it's complicated. Ugh. That last scene broke me because, like, I feel like everyone has probably had a fight with their best friend in high school or middle school where you're like, this is absolutely the end. Like, one of you does something to kind of save face or something or, like, to look cool in front of people and it ends up just blowing up in your face and you having this, yeah, heartbreaking fight where you, like, hurt your person. And, yeah, so I hated watching Eloise and Penelope fight that way.
I hated seeing them fight, too, but I also didn't really have a lot of sympathy for Penelope because these were all your choices.
No, I don't have sympathy for Penelope with her and Eloise. I do want them to mend their friendship at some point, but yes, I don't have sympathy. I think she just needs to own that this is who she wants to be. If she had just confided in Eloise and been like, this is what I'm doing and this is kind of my place in society and what's making me happy and also what's working for the town and become this big phenomenon, I feel like Eloise would have had her back.
I think so too.
I think she would have been kind of into it.
She could have been kind of into it. She could have started putting her own spin on things like she sort of did when she was telling Penelope to include something about women's rights or, you know, you know, questioning marriage. And Penelope did. So if Eloise had just been in on it from maybe not the beginning, but I feel like that could have been a whole thing where they could have been doing it together in some way, whatever. And I just think Penelope,
She wanted something, like, all for herself. And,
yeah.
But I will say I felt so bad for Penelope with the Colin thing. I mean, just.
I mean, she is so thirsty with Colin. She is obsessed with him. I'm like, he is a moron because she could not be more thirsty. Like, come on. The amount of times if I have to hear her say, Colin, one more time, I'm gonna freak out. Every sentence, oh, Colin, it's like, it's enough. We get it.
Move on.
Colin and Benedict, I don't know. First of all, Benedict is a solid 45 years old. Like, does he not look so old?
Wait, and Benedict is gay, right? That's what we're thinking is happening?
I think he's fluid. Because I feel like in the beginning, in the first season, he definitely was with a guy. But then he was also with some ladies, I think, too. Yeah. I think he's just an artist. Like, he's open to work.
Yeah, just fluid.
Work,
I like that.
He's just fluid, which I'm into.
I just thought that's the storyline we were going
to
get next. Not next, but eventually. A lot of kids in this family.
Yeah, I think that is going to be the storyline, which I'm excited about and into, and I'm into him being, like, you know, a bohemian artist. Colin, I feel like we don't know what to do with Colin. All he's doing is talking about Greece. The Marina thing, I, like, didn't even really remember her.
When he went to visit her, I have no idea the point of that visit. Because
it was so weird.
Because I remember she obviously was going to end up marrying Colin because she hadn't heard from, like, this man who is the love of her life. Yeah. And then she finally did hear from him, the father of her child. And so she got to go and run off and be with him. Like, I thought, and obviously Colin was pissed that she used him.
No, but wasn't it his brother? Like, wasn't it that the hut, maybe I'm making this up, but I feel like
yeah, I
it
think
was
so.
That, why did I think that it was like the brother? Like, the brother came and she was like, I guess I'll be with the brother?
Oh, the brother of the baby daddy.
Yeah, right?
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes, you're totally right. I thought you meant, like, Colin's brother. I'm like, we've just went over all of them. The little one? Who's left? No, you're totally right. So okay. That's why they weren't happy. Okay.
Right. Because
I was like,
but even
why?
Still, like, who needs that storyline anymore? Like, I feel like Colin's always just standing there, like, telling a story about his travels until Penelope runs up to him and just is, like, obsessed
and then
with
they
him.
Dance and then Penelope gets her hopes up and then it's just
right
a vicious cycle. I wonder, you think Eloise is gonna be next?
I feel like she has to be, because in the first season the only people that we really knew aside from Daphne was Antony and Eloise, and then we kind of knew a little bit about Colin had a storyline, other people had storylines, but we weren't so into them.
I mean, Benedict's going to be 75 by the time we get his story. They're going to...
It's crazy because I even looked it up and he's only 33. But for what I just think he truly looks... It's just strange casting, in my opinion. I think he looks like he's 57. So that's just bizarre. But I feel like it's got to be Eloise because we don't really care about Colin enough yet. We don't really care about Benedict enough yet. The only thing that's making me relatively excited about Eloise's season would be seeing her have a little Sybil Crawley moment with, you know, this guy Theo.
Oh,
and
yes.
Being, you know, a revolutionary.
Well, I feel like that's the necessary, like, that would be the next type of storyline. I know that Simone Ashley has already promised that she will be in season 3. So we're at least going to get
really?
A little bit of her and Antony.
Okay, that's good to know. She is so stunningly beautiful.
So stunning. Oh my God. Especially like when her hair was up always too, but like when her hair was down.
Yes.
She just has... Oh my God, she's incredibly beautiful.
And also, we love her from Sex Education, which
yes, we
was
do.
An episode
yeah,
we're going to have to come back to.
We recorded that got deleted, so.
It got deleted, so that was traumatic. We'll come back to it at some point, but I just love seeing her, because she's not a huge character in Sex Education. She's kind of on you know, the periphery, so it's nice to fun to see her really like leading, you know, this series. The season, at least.
I'm looking up to see how many followers she's gained since.
Oh, I can't imagine. I feel like if you are in Bridgerton, the next day, your career trajectory and your amount of followers and fans just skyrockets.
I think she went from, like, in the tens of thousands to, like, now 2.2 million. What was your favorite classical cover?
Oh, I loved Dancing on My Own. I thought that was such a good choice for, like, the emotional moment, too, and just what it represented.
Yes.
That was my favorite.
Oh my God.
For sure. What was yours?
You know, I was just so shocked by You Oughta Know being in there that I feel like when he's, like,
yeah.
in the tub,
yeah.
I, like, remember it. I was like, oh, this is a choice. This is a
yeah.
moment. I also loved, I mean, I love the song Wrecking Ball, and I just feel like it is an anthem, so I loved them dancing at the end to Wrecking Ball.
What else have you been watching?
So I'm watching The Dropout. You're watching The Dropout.
Mm-hmm.
Is it only 8 episodes? I'm on
yeah.
episode 7.
Yeah, there's
okay.
only 8.
Okay, I'm very close. I'm about to start The Girl from Plainville, so
Same.
I'm pumped about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm back to my Spanish soap opera, Elite, is on. It's not as good, but I'm, you know, watching that. And we still have to do Euphoria. We have to discuss.
Oh, yeah. The season 2. Yeah, we must discuss that.
Oh, and We Crashed with Anne Hathaway and Jared Leto.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
I really am excited to start this season of Atlanta that just came out. It's so...
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's such a good show. I'm really excited to start that new season. And I also, I haven't started this, but Severance is the Ben Stiller directed show that just came out with Adam Scott, and apparently
yes,
phenomenal.
Okay, what is it about?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
So much good TV. So we'll see you very, we'll listen. You'll hear us very soon. What am I saying? We'll be back.
We'll be back. Soon.